You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. On today's episode, it is another Mailbag Monday. And of course, you know, we're coming off the news from Friday evening that the Orioles added six players to their 40-man roster to protect them from the Rule 5 draft and also DFA'd Renato Nunez. So the roster sits at exactly 40 right now. But we know the Orioles are set to at least make a couple more moves coming up in the next couple of weeks prior to the Rule 5 draft and the deadline to non-tender players heading towards arbitration, which comes up on December 2nd. So on today's episode, we are going to look at the next group of possible candidates that could get left off of the Orioles roster going into next year. We're going to start with some potential DFA candidates that the Orioles have, and then after the break, some potential non-tender candidates as well. That all coming up on today's episode, as we hope you can settle in for this one, get ready for some Orioles offseason, and try to take your mind off a bit that the Ravens have lost three of their last four games. But on today's episode, we start with looking at the roster. And on a Mailbag Monday, our question to answer today, who could be the next group of Orioles players to get taken off the 40-man roster, whether it is DFA'd or it is non-tendered? And that's the question we're going to answer today kind of in two parts. And we will start with who could potentially be DFA'd for the Orioles. Now, as you look up and down this Orioles roster, there are definitely some candidates on this team who, you know, beyond just the candidates to be non-tendered, and we'll talk about that later with their salaries and what they could make in arbitration. But for the Orioles, there are just some guys who are sitting on this 40-man who it feels like don't have a great chance to make the team going into 2021 and therefore might just be DFA'd. And one guy I want to start with, who we talked about a little bit last week, who may have been a candidate to get DFA'd on Friday to clear up one of those roster spots that the Orioles needed, is the catcher Austin Wins. And now Wins is, of course, around on the 40-man roster at the moment because, you know, he is the number three catcher on that roster. You really want to make sure you have three catchers on the 40-man at most all times, even in the offseason as well. And the Orioles' three catchers right now, of course, Pedro Severino, Chance Sisko, and Austin Wins. Now, if you think back to the regular season, it was four of those guys on there, as Brian Holliday, of course, spent most of the season on the active roster with the Orioles as the third catcher, and then Wins was kind of that number four option sitting at the alternate site for all of 2020. But if you look at Austin Wins, you know, he was a guy who the Orioles took in the 10th round all the way back in 2013 out of Fresno State. And, you know, a guy who made his way through the minors with the Orioles, you know, never lit the world on fire hitting, but was a solid defender. And, you know, finally got his chance in 2018 to get to the majors. He played in 42 games with the O's in 2018, 118 plate appearances. And he actually did pretty well at the plate, a 255 batting average. The 287 on base was not great, but he did hit four home runs, a couple of doubles, and really held his own in those 42 games in 2018. Now, the numbers did go down. He obviously came back in 2019, got his chance again, but only 28 games for the Orioles in 2019, as they had seemingly found Pedro Severino before 2019, and him and Chance Sisko were getting much more of the reps behind the plate. The Orioles were only carrying two catchers. So Wynn spent most of the 2019 season at AAA, but when he was up in the majors, 28 games, 74 plate appearances, he hit just .214 with a .247 on base, just one home run and one double of his 15 hits he had at the majors in 2019. So he was obviously trending downward as he remained on the Orioles' 40-man roster. But the question became for Wins, you know, would he be a third catcher as the rosters expanded in 2020, shortened season, 30-man roster to start the year? And it looked like there was a good chance that Wins would be that number three catcher on the active roster along with Severino and Cisco, and would get that chance to maybe stick around for the entire year. But instead, Brian Holliday, who the Orioles brought in as a veteran on a minor league contract with a spring training invite last year, won that job from Wins, and Holliday stuck on the roster. The Orioles kept three catchers with the 28-man roster basically for the entirety of that shortened 2020 season. And for the whole time, you know, Holliday wasn't used a lot, but he was that third catcher the entire time, and there was really never a thought given to bringing Wins up. And I think that has a lot to say about Austin Wins right now. Obviously, he was at the alternate site the entire time in Bowie, but never did enough there to earn that call-up and earn a spot over a minor league signing who was a veteran guy in Holliday who wasn't contributing much to the Orioles. And I think that says a lot about Wins, because it's not like he's really a prospect. He's going to turn 30 on December 10th here in a couple weeks. And you know, the 2019 was definitely worse than the 18, and you could say that the 2020 was even worse than that, is with the expanded rosters and the three catchers, he didn't even get a chance at all at the major league level. So if the Orioles do decide to DFA Austin Wins, you know, they're going to have to add a catcher, but I think it's, you know, pretty understood that the Orioles will probably add another veteran catcher like a Brian Holliday on a minor league deal with an invite to spring training at some point here. There's also a guy like Taylor Davis, who, you know, would probably be a catcher at Norfolk next year, who's going to be in that mix to potentially get on the 40-man or at least give himself a shot in spring training. And then you're always looking forward to when will Adley Rutschman make his move to the major leagues. So unless the Orioles are planning on non-tendering Pedro Severino, and we'll talk about that later, I think Wins is a pretty soon candidate to be DFA'd whenever the Orioles need to make a spot open on that 40-man. And you know, you look down the list, and we would assume the Orioles will make one spot open by the time, at least one spot, by the time they get to the Rule 5 draft, because you got to have a spot open if you want to draft somebody in the Rule 5 on December 2nd. But I would put Wins as kind of that first name there that could be in danger and looking at a potential DFA. Now, I would say there's probably three more candidates for DFA. All three of them are pitchers. Two of them, I think, will be around. Thomas Eshelman and Travis Lakins are definitely two candidates for the DFA. And honestly, you know, you could probably throw Jorge Lopez into that mix as well. But I think all three of those guys did enough. They were all, of course, with the Orioles at the big leagues in 2020. All were fairly significant contributors. And I think they all did enough to at least get themselves all another look in spring training in 2021 and are all going to be competitive for an opening day spot next year. So I don't think any of those guys will get DFA'd. However, it is on the table. Now, the one guy who I do think is also on this list and I think is going to eventually be DFA'd at some point this offseason is Cole Sulcer. I think he is the pitcher right now who is going to be on the outside looking in. Of course, the Orioles claimed Sulcer off waivers from the Rays last offseason, and he became the surprising de facto closer for the O's. And despite having five saves last year, he finished off 2020, 19 games out of the Oriole bullpen, a 5.56 ERA in 22 and two-thirds innings. He allowed 14 earned runs, 17 hits, 19 strikeouts, and 17 walks for Cole Sulcer, who is going to turn 31 before opening day next year. So he's into his 30s. It didn't look great with the Orioles last year. We know he can get lefties out, but way too many walks, 17 walks to 19 strikeouts. It just seems like, you know, it was a waiver pickup from Tampa. You know, he started his Tampa career with 7 1/3 scoreless innings with the Rays in September of 2019. So obviously, there was something there. The Orioles took a chance. It worked early in the season, and it really blew up in their faces later in 2020. And I think Cole Sulcer is just going to be on his way out at some point here, and I think he's a pretty easy DFA candidate. You know, he's going to be 31. He was never an Orioles prospect. He was kind of just a pick him up and let's see what happens. It didn't work out. The Orioles are continuously adding these pitchers to the 40-man, and it feels like, you know, he's not going to be a closer next year. If he's on the Orioles, he'll be a middle relief guy. And you look at the guys they added to the 40-man on Friday, even just a guy like Isaac Mattson, a perfect fill-in to take that role of Cole Sulcer. Mattson seems to be major league ready, so I just think Sulcer becomes a pretty easy DFA candidate. So those are kind of your two guys who could be next up for the DFA. But after the break, we're going to look at the Orioles guys who are going into arbitration who could potentially be non-tendered. And the Orioles could say, well, we're not going to pay you next year. You're going to become a free agent. We'll talk about a couple of those names after the break. Built Bar has come back even better. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, well, now it has even more flavors that make it taste even better than it already did. They've got new flavors like caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, and carrot cake. That kind of stuff, you know, you start thinking about fall flavors, those fit right in right there for Built Bar. They've still got the 12 original flavors like peanut butter, mint brownie, and toffee almond, but the bar's still covered 100% in chocolate, soft and easy to chew. But they don't just taste great, they're also good for you. That's the best part about Built Bar as well. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for a keto diet as well. You talk about the peanut butter bar, it's got 19 grams of protein and just 180 calories while only 5 grams of sugar. This bar is delicious and good for you as well. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. So we've talked about the guys who could potentially be DFA candidates, you know, the big ones right up front, Wins and Sulcer, and potentially, you know, Thomas Eshelman, a Travis Lakins, a Jorge Lopez. But I would say Wins and Sulcer are the top two names. But if the Orioles want to continue to clear space, you know, if they want to sign a free agent, or if they just, you know, don't want to pay certain guys in arbitration, it comes up to these guys who are due into arbitration here this year. And the Orioles have until December 2nd to decide whether to go to arbitration with these players to work out a salary for 2021 or to non-tender them, which essentially means we're not going to offer you a contract next year. And those players immediately become free agents. Now, the players who are obviously safe and not going to be into this conversation, there's really two names, and that is Trey Mancini and Anthony Santander. A couple of guys who, you know, Trey Mancini will probably make around $5 million in arbitration. Santander will get around $2 million in arbitration. Those are going to be, you know, arguably your best two hitters heading into 2021. Pretty cheap contracts. The Orioles definitely going to lock them up into next year. But after that, you know, there's some names who can definitely be non-tender candidates. Now, Renato Nunez was one of those guys. He was going to be owed a little more than $2 million next year. But he was already DFA'd on Friday, so you take him out of the conversation. He was definitely probably the top name on this list to be non-tendered. So now you get into essentially three more names who are going into arbitration for the Orioles. And I think all three of them are definitely non-tender candidates, but two of them more than the other. So we'll start with Sean Armstrong. And, you know, a reliever who had a solid season for the Orioles. You know, he missed a good chunk of 2020 with injury. But when he was out there for Baltimore, I think he showed the Orioles some stuff again. Of course, he came over on waivers from the Mariners back in 2019. Armstrong with the Orioles last year, 51 games with the O's, a 5.13 ERA, 60 Ks, 26 walks, and 54 innings. But he was really good in, you know, a little bit of a limited role because of the injury in 2020. 14 games out of the Oriole bullpen this season to a 1.80 ERA for Armstrong. He threw 15 innings, allowed just 3 earned runs on 9 hits, struck out 14, and the big one, walked only 3 batters in 15 innings this year. Again, small sample size, but pretty good work from Armstrong, who just turned 30. It'll be his age 30 season for the right-hander for the Orioles in 2021 if he stays around. And, you know, obviously there's always a chance that the Orioles could non-tender him to make room on the roster, make room in the bullpen, but I do think Armstrong is going to stay around, and the two big things about it. One, he had a really good 2020 season, and I know he was injured, and you didn't get to see a whole lot from him, but he showed that, you know, that slider's good, that cutter's good. He showed really good control, the best control of his career. Is, you know, he had by far the lowest walk number of his career. But for the Orioles, the other thing is he is by far owed the least amount, at least in projections for arbitration from MLBTradeRumors.com. They're usually pretty good at their projections, and they're projecting Armstrong to be owed less than $1 million in arbitration next year. They're projecting around $800,000 that the Orioles would owe to Sean Armstrong for a, you know, a reliever who's not going to be a closer type or an eighth inning guy, but a solid, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh inning option who can get righties and lefties out and had a good 2020. I would definitely take that from Sean Armstrong. And if it's going to cost the Orioles only $800,000, seemingly an easy decision to keep Armstrong around. He is obviously a potential candidate, but I think he will stay around. Now, the next two guys we'll talk about definitely more of a chance to be non-tendered. And the first one, I think, honestly, has a pretty good chance of becoming a free agent, and that is Pat Valeika. Now, of course, Valeika came over to the Orioles last offseason from the Colorado Rockies as a waiver claim by the O's. For the utility infielder who spent, you know, the entire 2020 season with the Orioles, ended up playing in 52 of the 60 games and was pretty solid at the plate for the O's. He was kind of a surprise for the Orioles at the dish this year. He ended up getting 150 plate appearances in those 52 games, hit .277 with a .315 on base and a .791 OPS for Valeika. 8 home runs for him in 52 games. He also had 4 doubles on the year. Didn't walk a whole lot, 8 walks to 34 strikeouts in the 150 plate appearances. But he was a surprising plus with the bat this year. Now, of course, you flip it around, and you know his primary position is probably second base when you put him in the field. Now, we saw him a lot of places. We saw him at third, short, second, first, and in left field for the Orioles this season. But he's probably best when he's playing second. Now, he had to play some shortstop this year because of the ineffectiveness of Andrew Velasquez and the injuries to Jose Iglesias, and that was where it became really, really rough to watch. He is not a good defender at shortstop, should not be put out there, made a lot of errors that hurt the O's at times this year. But the bat was pretty good. The only issue with Valeika is, you know, the Orioles have somewhat of a crowded infield. They just added Ryland Bannon to that mix. They have all these names who are fighting for that kind of first base DH role. You've also got Yomer Sanchez, who the Orioles claimed on waivers a couple of weeks ago. You got Richie Martin coming back from his injury. And, you know, you still have Chris Davis around on this roster. And you've got a guy like Ramon Urias, who, you know, kind of made a little statement at the end of last year to try and keep himself on the roster. And you know, Urias may be another DFA candidate as well, but I think the Orioles might want to give him a shot. And with all these guys, you know, Valeika becomes the guy out of all these names I mentioned that's going to be owed, you know, maybe the most money. And although he's only projected to make about $1.1 million in arbitration, the Orioles might just feel that it's not worth to give him that $1.1 million if they don't see a definite spot for him going into 2021. And I would like to see Valeika back because he did a lot of things with the bat, and I'd like to see him try to compete for an infield spot. But it just may not happen, and he may become non-tendered and a free agent. But the final name on this list sticks in the infield, and this could definitely hurt a lot of Orioles fans. That is Hanser Alberto, who has become really a fan favorite for the Orioles over the last two seasons. He is in a little bit of danger of being non-tendered this offseason. Now, Alberto is an interesting case because the arbitration projections for Alberto are kind of all over the place. You know, most projections, you know, that MLB Trade Rumors puts up, they kind of have three different projections that, you know, looks at this season in particular because it's different, you know, whether they'll put more weight on a 60-game season or if the arbitrators will kind of extrapolate the stats to a 160-game total or if they'll do kind of a mix of the two. But for Alberto, you know, it really makes things tough because of all the players on the Orioles list and frankly around the major leagues, he has some of the biggest discrepancies in how these numbers are calculated, what he could get in arbitration. They're projecting for Alberto a number as low as $2.3 million and a number as high as $4.1 million. Now, it's really not a lot in terms of baseball contracts. But for arbitration guys, you know, having a $2 million difference for guys that aren't making that much in the, you know, 2 to 4 range is a pretty big discrepancy when you get to arbitration. And now we look at Hanser and his last couple of seasons with the Orioles, a guy who just hits everything. 54 games for him in 2020, 231 plate appearances. He hit .283, a .306 on base for him, a .393 slugging percentage. He did come up with three home runs on the year, 15 doubles. He drove in 22 runners, only walked five times, of course did strike out the 30 times, which was a bit up from last year, but the walks around the same. You know, a guy that does not walk, he's gonna swing at everything, and we pretty much know that about Hanser Alberto. But the plate discipline did get worse. You know, he was known as a guy who's going to swing at everything, right? And in 2019, you know, he had that great kind of breakout season. He swung at about 48% of pitches that he saw that were outside the strike zone, and that's not great. But he made a lot of contact with those pitches, and you know, because of that, he was able to still get on base. Now, that number went up to, he was swinging at 54% of pitches outside the strike zone in 2020. That was the leader in baseball. Nobody swung at pitches outside of the zone more than Hanser Alberto in 2020. And while the contact rate was fairly similar, he was swinging at more pitches outside the zone. And just because he's making contact doesn't mean he was getting hits. And it was weaker contact for Alberto that wasn't, you know, ending up with hits for him. And his numbers didn't go incredibly down, but they went a little bit down from 2019 to 2020. And the defense was still solid. But for the Orioles, you know, you look at these stats and how really bad the plate discipline was, and you start to think for Alberto. We love Alberto, great clubhouse guy. You know, he put up some good numbers for the O's, been their leadoff hitter for a while here. But you start to think, you know, are these numbers he's putting up sustainable? Swinging at all these pitches out of the zone, he's really mostly a singles hitter, and he's a guy with a weighted runs created plus that is down below 100. You know, it was right around league average in 2019. It was much lower, down to 87, league average 100. It was 87 in 2020. And, you know, you look at some of his stats, and the last 2 years, his BABIP, that's his batting average on balls in play, 318 in 2019, 314 in 2020. Now, the number is going to skew a little bit for a guy who doesn't walk a lot, doesn't strike out a lot. But when you have that number up over 300, you start to think, you know, how lucky is this guy getting? And the thing you want to worry about, his walk rate was minuscule in 2019, 2.9%. Somehow it went down to 2.2% last year. And the one thing we knew about him is, even though he swung at all these pitches, he didn't strike out. If you're going to get him out chasing a pitch 3 feet out of the strike zone, he might just dribble it over to second base, at least try to put the ball in play. His strikeout rate went from 9.1% last year to 13% this year. So the walks went down, the strikeouts went pretty significantly up for how well he was avoiding them in 2019. And it became more of an issue for Alberto. It really seemed like, you know, breaking it down, pitchers saw that he was swinging at everything, and they just threw him less strikes in 2020 than they did in 2019. And even when they were throwing balls, they threw him just frankly more less hittable pitches in the 2020 season, and Alberto didn't adjust, and it hurt him. So now for the Orioles, if it does turn out that he's going to be projected on that upper end, you know, around that $4 million number, Mike Elias and the Orioles might decide to non-tender Hanser Alberto, and he might become a free agent. A lot of Orioles fans, including myself, are going to be upset with that. But it just might be something that Mike Elias does. So it's something to keep an eye on here as we look towards that deadline in a couple weeks on December 2nd. But we're going to continue here on the pod to break down everything involving those arbitration numbers, the non-tender possibilities, and this roster crunch for the Orioles leading up to the Rule 5 draft and the winter meetings in a couple of weeks. But on the podcast this week, we'll continue to look at that and other things as well. We're going to actually take a look at Trey Mancini a little later on the pod and his college days, because it has an interesting connection to NBA free agency. And of course, the former Orioles fourth round pick, Pat Connaughton, who just signed a new free agent deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. He's going to stay in the NBA, and it pretty much puts the nail in the coffin if it hadn't been already for him coming back to join the Orioles and Major League Baseball. But Connaughton and Mancini, well, they were teammates on the baseball team at Notre Dame. So we want to talk to someone who watched them play. We're going to talk about their college careers later this week on the pod. That should be a good one. We're also going to continue to break down the Orioles' top 10 moves of the last decade. We are up to number 5 on the list, as we're going to continue that list later this week. The last couple weeks, go back and check the archives for numbers 10 through 6 on the list. And number 5 will be coming up this week. We'll talk about an Orioles one-year deal they gave out pretty close to spring training in 2014 that made all the difference that year. Talk about a couple of trades the Orioles have made for some pitchers and some power hitters, as well as some free agent signings that went pretty well for the O's as well. So we will continue that series this week, and we'll hope we can give you some good content leading up to Thanksgiving on Thursday. But we'll be back with you tomorrow with more Orioles content right here on the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.